John chapter 11 this morning. And while you are turning there, just a big thank you here to our church family and many who have actually participated and helped us out here this week. I know many were even preparing the last couple of days around the building. Those who actually served this morning, the treats and the coffee, and we appreciated that so much. The special music, and what a wonderful addition this morning. You realize it's been actually a long, long time since we have had Sunday morning a choir, and that was great to hear them, and also our orchestra and Savannah for that special, and then of course trio. We appreciate it so much. Behold the Lamb, and trust that your heart is already overflowing. John chapter 11, would you please stand and follow along our text here this morning, as I have chosen as our theme for today, the comeback. We notice in John chapter 11, now this is not the resurrection story that, of course, we are gathered together for, but it precedes that. But it's important you understand that he wants to impact you personally because of his resurrection. And notice in John chapter 11, verse 23, the Bible says, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Speaking about Lazarus. Martha saying to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? This morning, I want to preach to you a message entitled The Comeback. Boy, we love comebacks. Some today may need a comeback. I want you to listen this morning to the message. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. I pray that you'd help us to even be mindful about the fact that that's exactly what this day represents. It represents a comeback for all because Jesus came back. And Lord, I pray that you bless each and every one who's come this morning. Give us here, Lord, your spirit and your presence, your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Are you in need of a comeback this morning? Maybe I need to clarify that, because you know the word comeback, it can mean multiple things. Just like many different words, it depends upon context. For instance, the word comeback, it can mean a sarcastic reply. You know, I remember the story about Winston Churchill one time, that Winston Churchill was said to be very good at this. He was very sarcastic, and he just had a wit, a humor about him. And one day he was actually hosting a party, and among his guests there was a British socialite by the name of Nancy Astor, and that she was pretty much a snob to him. And right in the middle of the party, she just simply kind of had a jab that she wanted to give in front of everybody. And as she said in front of the whole crowd and to Winston Churchill, she said, Winston, if you were my husband, I would put poison in your coffee. Of course, the crowd was silent. But without missing a beat, Winston Churchill, as he oftentimes did, just had that quick comeback. And he said, Nancy, if I were your husband, I think I'd drink it. Well, I like that. Something about that. I like the sarcasm. I like to be able to just simply have some good humor. And that he had the comeback, but that's not the comeback we're talking about this morning. Others, of course, would think about comebacks in terms of sports. And you know, as we've been even having the NCAA, the basketball, there have been some losses. There have been some surprising wins. And, you know, even last night, Valerie found me. I was on, watching the game last night, the later game, and all of a sudden, right at the very end, the unexpected is, you know, the guy hits the half-court shot and wins the game, and I about came out of my chair. We get excited about, you know, comebacks and about thrilling victories and different things like that. Maybe that's why we always root for the underdogs. We're always looking to have a comeback. But, you know, this morning we come to the story about a family that really urgently needed a comeback, and it's why I decided to take a little bit of a different approach this morning, because what is Easter if it doesn't impact you? And what does it matter if we recognize that Christ came back if it doesn't impact us in even in our great needs? And here was a family, a group, two sisters and a brother, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And for a long time, they were a very, very important family to Jesus. And we know that Jesus had been there many, many times. And so very familiar with this family, probably stayed there, been hosted many times. But all of a sudden, as we begin this chapter, we find that word is brought to Jesus that Lazarus is sick. Notice in verse 3, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. No, this was really a personal setback for these girls, for these two sisters that had been living with their brother for all of these years, and now to realize that here's the breadwinner and here's the man, the leader of their home that we've been looking up to. And it's amazing that Jesus, when he hears this news, he does something unexpected. He does nothing for 2 days. He delays. The Bible says, in fact, when he finally does give an answer in front of the disciples, it's really a jawing answer. In verse number 4, when Jesus heard that he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." You know, don't ever think, by the way, that whenever Jesus is delaying, that he's really delaying. That he's really got a purpose in mind, and he's letting us in on that. And even his disciples, as he tells them, listen, I've got a bigger plan, a plan that's a comeback plan, and that one that you want to see and you want to be a part of. And so he delays, and he delays for 2 days, and then he gets up and he gets going. And we find in verse number 7 that Jesus, when he decides it is time, he says, "Let us go into Judea again." But even at the point that Jesus finally arrives, that we find that death has succumbed in this home. And, you know, again, it's why I wanted to preach this message this morning, because I guarantee you, somebody, you came in here this morning, and while one person might be, you know, really chirping, you're excited, that you're thrilled in Easter, and you got your maybe new outfit and your children, and you're all together, and you're sitting there, and everything's happy. I guarantee you, somebody's going through a hard time. And we need to recognize that. In fact, it was even apparent by the fact that we had a little bit of an extra burden even this morning with some of those prayer requests. You know, our world is constantly struggling, and things are messy in life, and marriages that are failing, and families that have struggles, and businesses, and all sorts of things. You know, we have all sorts of things that set back. We have a fragile world. I mean, just even think about the news a couple of days ago, where you have a barge that gets stuck in a canal, and it brings the shipping world to a halt. And then there's storms, and, you know, some have floods, and others have tornadoes, and we have all sorts of things, trials in life. My point is this, that you might be here this morning, and you might be saying, "Yeah, that's good. I'm glad that Jesus came back, but what about me? I need to come back from something too." You see, in essence, we're all in need of a comeback, a time or two. And I want you to notice in this story this morning, though, that there are actually 5 stages to the comeback. And we're going to just simply focus from the mindset of one, Martha. And as Martha encounters a difficulty in her life, how is it that she comes out on the other end victorious? I want you to notice that first thing she did is she had to realize her setback. You know, the first thing you need to realize this morning is you need to realize, what is your problem? What is your difficulty? You know, Jesus arrives on the scene, and it's just a few days since Lazarus has passed. And you have to understand, the Jewish community is one that really rallies at times of mourning. And the Bible tells us in verse number 19 that many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And the scene was one of sadness. It was one of chaos. It was one of weeping and wailing. And you also have to factor in, just understand a little bit of the customs, that in those days, and actually even in many parts of the world today, they really even orchestrate the mourning to where they even hire people to cry. For some of us that don't cry much, I don't think we would make much of a living doing this, but others, I know they can cry at the drop of a hat. And so in the Jewish culture, they literally, when it came time to just sort of get the mood right, that they would make sure that they would, even part of the expense was they would hire mourners, professional mourners. And so there's a lot of ado, a lot of weeping, a lot of wailing. And everybody in town besides, they care about this family. And so here's these two women that all of a sudden have lost their brother. You know, the first thing that you and I need to do is we need to make sure we tell it to the Lord. You know, here were a lot of comforters, a lot of people that, you know, had shown up. And I guarantee you there were neighbors. There were probably friends. There were probably even family members. And all of that is important. But listen, you might be here this morning, and you might have your own personal difficulty. It might be a difficulty. It might be maybe a sin that you have had difficulty overcoming. It might be maybe a struggle in your home. It might be a struggle at work. You might be stressed out about maybe some sequences, some things that are happening in society and around the world. And oh, by the way, just around the corner, it's tax day, and you're going to have to fill out your tax return. And then there's other things that will come up. And if it's not one thing, it's another. And all of this, you've got people all surrounding these women, but none of them were really able to comfort until Jesus shows up. And that is why the first and most important thing is that Martha does is she realizes her setback. And that brings us to the second point, because secondly, then she moved toward Christ. Nobody else could bring her comfort. You realize, by the way, that since Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, there have been 4 days of constant people over, gathering together, talking, crying, weeping, all sorts of things, but nothing mattered until Jesus showed up. She made a move. She made a move toward the Savior. Verse number 20 tells us that Martha made a move. She could have, by the way, stayed in her house. You know, one of the temptations that oftentimes happens is that when we've got difficulty, when we've got problems, it's just to stay in. I'm glad, by the way, that if you've got difficulties this morning, you came out, you came to church, you came to the right place. That you made a move toward Jesus. By the way, it's interesting. We don't know exactly where this meeting took place, but we notice that Martha left her home. Jesus didn't go to the home. But we know that they met somewhere, and actually verse number 20 gives us a little bit of a clue, an identification, a clarification, because the Bible says, now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. So it's outside of the city. I'll tell you what I think. The Jews had their burial places outside of town. The Jews would bury, they would have the grave sites, that they would all be outside the city. They didn't want to have them inside the town. That was considered even ceremonially unclean, and so they would have to go outside. I think what happened was this, that when Jesus made up his mind that he's coming, he comes and he meets her not too far away from where Lazarus is buried. He met her at her problem. He met her where her issue really originated. Now, by the way, it's a beautiful picture. She makes a move toward Jesus. Jesus makes a move. They meet at Lazarus' tomb, I happen to believe. And I have to tell you that, by the way, there's something about this that oftentimes, you know, we have the failed, mistaken notion that we've got to have everything, you know, just squared away before we can come to Jesus. That's not true. Martha came with questions. Martha came with burdens. Martha came with attitudes. She came with problems. Everything wasn't, you know, all squared in her mind. And listen, you don't have to worry about, you know, trying to all of a sudden get yourself perfect and ready, and you got to have everything figured out. And, you know, sometimes we have that wrong mentality when we come to church that somehow we think we are all perfect. No, we're not. We're imperfect people, but we're thankful we can come to a perfect Savior. They met outside of town, I believe, toward near Lazarus' tomb. But then notice number 3, she told him her hurts, verse number 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You know, it's when she gets close to Jesus, now she can unburden her heart. She can tell him exactly what she thought. And by the way, it's not uncommon that in times like this, that oftentimes we want to blame someone. I think in this situation, it's obvious, she puts the blame on Jesus. Lord, it's your fault. It's pretty brazen, pretty bold if you ask me. But listen, Jesus is able to take it. And Jesus actually doesn't chastise her. He doesn't rebuke her. He's willing to listen. And it tells you, by the way, something about it doesn't matter what's going on in your heart, that you've got somebody who wants to hear you, wants to listen to you, that wants to care for you. And we notice that here when she says, it's your fault. If you had come when I had first called, then my brother had not died. It's interesting that Jesus relates to Martha in a marvelous way. As the Bible says, all of a sudden, all of those people that had been in the house, they heard that Martha had gone out to meet Jesus. They went out too. So now all of a sudden, everything is moved from the house to out to the tomb. And we read that the Bible says in verse number 33 that after Jesus even after Mary registers a similar complaint to Jesus, we read the comforting words that when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And two verses later, the Bible says that Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse. Why did Jesus weep? You know, that's interesting. Why did he weep at this time? I can tell you just simply from context, it wasn't because he was unclear of what was going to happen. He'd already said he was going to do something big. He knew ahead of time. He's after all the Son of God. He knows ahead of time what is going to happen. I believe that the reason that Jesus wept is because Jesus feels with them. He felt their pain. He felt their anguish. By the way, that ought to be a comfort to you when you think that nobody cares and nobody understands. My dear friend, Jesus knows. Jesus understands. By the way, it's obvious in this passage, there are many, many times, three times in particular, where you literally read the fact, it's stated emphatically that Jesus loved. In verse number 3, we read the phrasing, he whom thou lovest is sick. In verse number 5, the commentary, how now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And then even the commentary by the crowd that witnessed and saw when he wept and saw the compassion just oozing out of him. In verse number 36, that the crowd said, behold, how he loved him. How he loved him. You know, the Bible says it real clearly. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, it was important that she would tell him her hurts. It was important that Jesus wanted to hear what she was thinking and what she was feeling. But then let me hasten and add, number 4, that she learned who Jesus is. In verse number 4, I want you to notice what happens next. It's not until Martha recognizes her setback and she goes to Jesus and she pours her heart out to him. It's not until that that Jesus actually speaks. You realize that Jesus is silent up until now. But notice what he says. He says in verse 23, Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now, just on face value, Jesus is a man and she's a woman. This is maybe an overgeneralization, but how many of you women out there that you've ever been in a situation where you've told your husband something and you realized instantly that it went right over his head? Can you relate to that? Any of you women out there? You too scared to raise your hand? I know that's true with Valerie. Sometimes she'll be saying something to me and she'll be, you know, she'll be saying potato and I'll be thinking potato. And we'll be just on different wavelengths. We'll not be on the same, you know, even subject. And she'll be talking about one thing and she changes subjects. That's where it always gets me, is I'm trying to figure out which thing are you talking about now. And I think that probably Martha's thinking, you know, you're not even listening to me. Don't you realize my brother's dead and now you're saying that he's going to live again? That, don't you know? By the way, there's something also to factor in here. The fact that Jesus has waited, he's waited 4 days. Did you know that the Jews had a superstitious belief? A belief that basically said that for three days after, Jews normally, that they try and bury as quickly as they can. That they normally try and bury the same day, but if not, they try and bury within 3 days. You know why? Because they had this thought. The thought was that after 3 days, the spirit somehow hovered around. But after 3 days, the spirit somehow left and departed. And so there was this thought that perhaps, you know, just like a resuscitation, that maybe there's a chance that somehow, you know, he's going to come out of the grave. But not after 3 days. After 3 days, he is definitely dead. He's dead as a doornail. There's no chance. Oh, but then Jesus shows up. You know, I know that Martha here, she exhibits here just a little bit of knowledge. And she says something that's interesting, just like, you know, something that somebody here might say because you've been to Sunday school, or maybe you've been to a Christian school, or you've been to a Bible college, or you've maybe read some things on the internet. Now notice she says something that she had learned in verse number 24, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. That was head knowledge. You know, it's the problem, by the way, of most people today. Most people have a head knowledge. They do not have a heart belief. even today. You ask the average person, Christian America is not necessarily believing America. Christian America, oh, what's Easter about? Oh, that's when Jesus rose. Well, that's the right answer. That's an intellectual answer. But listen, it takes more than just simply intellectual knowledge and assent. It takes more than that. It takes belief. Then notice that Jesus personalizes for Martha. This isn't just simply something that is good in theory, but this is something that is good for you. Verse number 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Jesus doesn't just, by the way, give life. He is life. That's why even when Jesus rose from the dead, you realize that on the day that Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says that the graves were opened and many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose. And there were actually a lot of resurrections on that resurrection day. There were a lot that were coming out of the graves. So that brings us to this final point, and that is this, that number five, she boldly put her faith in Jesus. Verse number 27. Verse number 26 ends with a question. Jesus personalized it and said, listen, this is more than just a theory, but he that believeth, and if you believe in this, you'll live and never die. And then he says this to Martha, believest thou this? Remember I said that it's more than just simply intellectually saying, I know the resurrection happened. He says, do you believe it? There's a difference. There's a difference. You see, one is the head, the other's the heart. And the problem is that sometimes it hasn't gone from the head to the heart. You know, it's sort of like this. Imagine, you know, a wedding or a wedding to be. Imagine a young man and a young lady that have been courting, dating. They've been, you know, liking each other for a long time, even, you know, expressing their love to each other. But finally comes the day, this young man has, I mean, he has saved, he's scrimped. He's gotten all of his money together, and he's bought the biggest diamond ring you can imagine. He's got it in a box. He's nervous, but he gets to that point where all of a sudden, here they are, a romantic moment, and he gets on his knee, and he proposes, and he says, will you marry me? Now, at that moment, it's not enough for her to acknowledge, he just asked me to marry him. That's a big rock. On that ring, he must have spent a lot of money. It's more than just simply intellectual. You know what he's waiting for? He's waiting, now listen to this, he's waiting for her to make a decision. And they may be sitting there all day long. They may be, and that poor fella, all of a sudden he's starting to sweat when he's on his knee and he's waiting for the answer. If she doesn't give him the answer, I mean, he's going to die. Like, what are you waiting for? Just give me the answer. What is he waiting for? He's waiting for her to say, yes, of course I will marry you. Did you know it's no different in salvation? In salvation, the problem is, again, Christian America is, we've got this holiday today, and many people are coming to church, and many people can quote the verses, many people can tell the story, oh yeah, Jesus died. Then 3 days later, he came back out of the grave. And yeah, I know the story, but listen, do you believe it for your salvation? Do you believe it as yours? By the way, Martha did. Jesus asked her the question. He basically was like on one knee saying, will you believe? Will you? Will you? Will you? And notice she says in verse 27, she said to him, yea, Lord, I believe. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Basically, I believe that you're the Savior. Now, I said all of that to say this. Why are we here this morning? Yes, we're here to remember that Christ arose. But why is that important? Because it needs to be personally applied. And that is why this story, literally, it took place just maybe a couple of weeks prior to Christ's own resurrection. And it predates the resurrection of Christ. But listen, it's based upon the fact that the only reason that he had power to raise Lazarus from the dead is because he also would have power to raise himself from the grave He is life. He not just simply gives life, but he is life. Therefore, anybody who receives him, anybody who touches him, lives again. This morning, I asked the question, have you believed? Have you personally trusted Christ? Do you know him as Savior? You might be here this morning. Yeah, I need a comeback in my marriage. Well, listen, why don't you first of all accept the comeback of all comebacks? Because that's the basis of what you need for your marriage. You say, yeah, I need a comeback. Boy, I've got so much debt. And listen, I don't have money to pay off your debt. But what you need more than anything else is you need a relationship with the one who came back and actually paid the debt of every sinner who would believe. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. You see, it's all tied into the resurrection. The resurrection is the victory. It's the comeback story of all comebacks. And there is no other victory. That's why we even sing that song sometimes. There's victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. This morning, do you need to come back? If so, why don't you trust Christ? Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. In just a moment, Valerie's going to come to the piano. But you know, I wonder here by way just simply of an invitation, if maybe this morning, maybe you've come and maybe this is your first time, maybe you've been here before. But let me ask you, have you ever personally believed? Martha got put on the spot by the Savior himself. He said, do you believe this? He said, it's more than just simply what you learned in Sunday school. It's more than just simply what you heard maybe in a church service. It's more than that. It's more than what you can quote from your head. What do you believe in your heart? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Martha, your brother is going to live again. It's because of me. I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. Believest thou this? And she said, I believe. And by the way, the rest of the story is, of course, as we all know, that Jesus commanded and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. And he who was dead 4 days, all of a sudden, was free and living again. It's the comeback. Do you need a comeback today? What we all need is a touch from the one who came back. We need Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never put your faith and trust in him. I want to encourage you to maybe pray this morning and just simply acknowledge, just like we said, Martha, she had to acknowledge her setback. What's your setback? Well, you know what? We all have this setback. We're all sinners. And because we're all sinners, we're in need of a Savior. Acknowledge that, but then acknowledge that he paid the price. Why he came 2,000 years ago, he came to pay the price for you. If you were the only person on the earth, Jesus would have died for you. That's how much he loved. He loved Lazarus. He loved Mary, Martha. He loved everybody. And he loves you as well. This morning, would you put your faith, would you put your trust in him? I'm going to ask that you stand. And as Valerie plays, maybe you need to step out and come. Maybe you want to come and trust Christ this morning. Maybe this morning, you got.